Hello, everybody, and welcome to Eighth Right Radio, Gamerscape's Final Fantasy XIV podcast. I'm FusionX, and with me tonight, we have a Nero, Steak, and Chin. What's going on?
Hey, how's
going
it going?
On?
So, all right, let's, you know, big elephant in the room, 2.0.
2.0! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, my.
Just a couple little teeny bits of news we just want to get out of the way now so we can get to the good stuff. Not to say that this stuff isn't good, but...
Let's get through with
come
it.
Come on.
Let's go.
It's not as good.
Zan Pumpkin Carving Contest. This is, you know, old news. They've done it before.
Do it a lot.
A Halloween event coming up starting on Tuesday, October 18th. It'll run until November 1st. There's some like pumpkin heads that were found up in the
pumpkin
dance
heads.
with 1.19. So check that out. It looks like imps are going to be chilling in the cities. So that'll be interesting. There's always monsters in the cities for Halloween events.
I like that though.
Yeah. And 1.19A landed this week. We have a new Grand Company related side quest that kind of ties in with Natalon. Natalon was also added, which is the Ixali Beastman Stronghold in Korthus. And I think the biggest update is the ability to have your action bars saved with your classes. So if you switch classes, it'll like bring back your action bar from when you...
Yay!
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Awesome.
It's hated swapping classes because it took like, you know, half an hour, it felt like, just to, you know, re-equip all your abilities and pain in the butt. So
takes
that's
so long.
Really nice change. They decreased the amount of gil needed for a lot of items that were made available at NPCs, you know, basic armor, basic weapons, and stuff like that. So that's kind of nice.
That is nice.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, pretty much it. That's all the big stuff out of 1.19A, some bug fixes.
Which, if they hadn't...
If
they hadn't brought out 2.0, we probably could have talked about that stuff for hours.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
they dumped down PLing a little bit. I know that was really big since the patch. A lot of people were PLing and getting just crazy amounts of XP.
Oh, yes.
So I haven't heard anything about it after A, but I mean, I hear it's still pretty nice, so...
Well, and you know, some people were like, "Well, it's ruining the game if you power level," and not really. I mean, there's got to be some way to curb the grind if you've got the resources to, you know, have somebody come out there and, you know, power level you old school like we did in the Dunes. I mean, it's not subverting any kind of system. It's just, you know,
this PLing makes PLing in the Dunes look like... It's, oh my God, it's like a turd in a golden gun.
Hell.
I don't know. It's just, it's
well,
like
nothing, magic. nothing can quite compare to the majesty of shit that was the Dunes, but, you know,
majesty of
that's the best way I could think of it. Nothing has ever been quite as bad as the Dunes. Nothing sticks out in my mind, at least. But you know, at least I don't have a problem with it. I think that it's fine. I think the people who are pissed off about it are the people who don't have the resources to power level. That's it. Yeah.
That's usually how it goes.
Find friends, talk to other people.
Well, here's the thing too, now with these strongholds.
Socializing.
All you gotta do is get level 40 and get a party. Mm-hmm. Because you're gonna get to 50 faster than you got to 40. You know?
Yeah. Right.
So Those are the biggest levels, so yeah.
All right, forget all that other crap. 2.0.
Yes. 2.0.
Speechless.
I don't know. Oh man,
it's speechless on a podcast. That's probably not a good idea.
No. Okay.
Let's just take a picture. We'll each take a picture of ourselves, just like contemplating, or with our jaws to the floor, and we'll just post that. That'll be the episode.
It is, you know, what they've outlined here in terms of the rebuild of most of this game is really quite an impressive undertaking.
It's weird because before we had the idea, it's like, oh, okay, they need to work on like optimizing code.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's, you know, and that, yeah, okay, that'll take a while. You know, they'll update the game while they're doing it. But now they come out and they're like, yeah, by the way, new graphic engine, new servers, like, damn.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
it's a rebuild while we're still playing it too. So you get like it's not like a new game where you jump in and you're level one and you can't really do much, you just grinding.
It's like
those of us that have been playing get to, you know, watch all this unfold. It's
like
so
what 14
epic.
Would have been if they had like 11 character transfers or something. Like the thing that's really cool to me is when 2.0 drops, it's an entirely new client. Yep. And that's when the new maps are going to come into play.
Yeah.
And they're actually putting all this into the lore. So between now and next year, we're going to get like, it's almost like a prologue of Final Fantasy 14, where we get to see how this world kind of takes shape.
That's,
which I think is awesome.
That's way awesome. Yeah. That's way wicked.
And I was
wicked.
Thinking, like, because we knew they were going to redo maps. You know, we knew a lot of big changes were coming, that they were probably going to be involved in the lore. And even before 2.0 dropped, I'm like, you know, now would be a great time to get into the game because you can see those changes as they take place. Like, you're not going to see that in any other MMO.
Mm-hmm. I think you kind of have to step back to really appreciate the magnitude of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, they're creating, they're implementing an entirely new graphics engine for the game, and they're also redeveloping their actual development tools that they use to create content for the game.
Well,
at the same time as developing new content for the framework that's already there, that was,
right,
you know, that's the game that we already know. I mean, just, we were talking about 1.19 the other day and how it took 5 forum posts to include all of that content. Not only are they doing that, but they're reworking the whole thing from the ground up. Oh my God, that's incredible.
It's from the very fundamentals of where the whole thing starts. You know, I mean, they're creating an entirely new game.
Yeah.
New hardware, new software, new everything. And all the while, you know, we're able to play this game and kind of experience how things are evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just unbelievable. Like, that's such
What MMO have you ever seen even give up that much information at once? Especially Square.
Yeah. The kings we'll take that back to Japan with us. They're like, here's 4 PDFs. Enjoy. It's just like, holy crap.
Whoa.
Right. They're one of the things that I thought was really amazing was that they're implementing a new graphics engine. You know, I already said that, but they're making it so that the system is optimized for a wider range of PC environments.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't necessarily have to have the best and, you know, greatest PC.
But
you know
what I think it is? It's not necessarily that it's like, oh, you know, different PC. I think what it is the way that it's building everything is that they scale easier. Like, if you run 14 on like the lowest settings right now, even the names above players' heads like get caught in that downgrade, and they're blurry as hell, and you can't even read them. Like, it just doesn't work. And I think that they probably needed to also do this for the PS3 client because
absolutely,
you know,
yeah,
because it's been taking forever for PS3.
The PS3 is a powerful damn machine, you know. That's not like it's not a Nintendo 64, you know.
I am
it's truly amazing.
I am really impressed about how much feedback they took, how much of the raw player feedback that, you know, things that we were complaining about, fundamental things that you think in an MMO, man, this is going to be really complicated and difficult to undertake, like the redesigning of maps. And to me, that says that they are absolutely listening to the criticism. And mm-hmm. and it is, and you're right, it is going to be really cool to play through the history of how the world is going to be changing, because we see massive catastrophes in some of these concept art, and it's just, I've said it on the last couple of shows that there could be this massive war or massive catastrophe that changes the the world, but as long as they do it within the confines of the story, everyone's going to go along with it. And not only that, I think it's going to, you're going to gain people. I mean, 4chan is all on board, and yeah. I mean, you don't easily get the approval.
If you get 4chan on board, like, you're good.
especially when you consider how badly it was received when it was first officially released.
Right. And it's funny too, you mentioned like the idea of some kind of like just natural like catastrophe or something happening. And, you know, for a while now, ever since 1.18, a lot of people are saying, oh, that's how, you know, that's why they're introducing Meteor. So that can come down and that's, you know, new world. Okay. But from looking at the concept art, there was a mention of like, there was like this thing coming. It was like coming out of the ground.
Yeah, so
it
says
like,
right.
Wait, that's like the complete opposite of like what we thought would happen. Instead of something coming down, something's coming out.
Right. Yeah. It says one day a massive geological anomaly suddenly appears from deep within the ground. Current players will have the opportunity to unlock the mysteries surrounding this strange new landmark in coming months. So it's something that we're actually going to see
with Titan.
Like, actually, that is a really good point. That's a really good point.
Because think about, with all these new, what are they calling them? Primals, summons, whatever you want to call them. I mean, that's an awesome way to introduce story, seeing as we're seeing one at a time, too, you know?
You bring up Titan and the primal fights and stuff, but here's my problem with that is the three primals that are in the game right now in Mission Lines are Ifrit, Titan, and Leviathan. Right. Right?
Yeah.
The primal fights that we're getting in order is Ifrit, Moogle, Garuda. So
I'm so glad we're getting Moogle, though.
I said that. It's like the next primal fight is like malevolent Moogle. I'm like, what the hell?
For real? Evil
Moogle. What? Oh no!
Evil Moogle.
Like I was expecting Titan and Leviathan next. Because they're in the game already.
Right.
They're tied into the storyline. They have the assets for them. But I don't know. It's not the case. You're doing something new. Whether that's because they're saving Leviathan and Titan for bigger stuff, you know, I don't know.
We see Odin
in some of these. Leviathan and Titan, I mean, Titan is, you know, he's a friggin' rock man. You know, he could destroy
Thanks
the
for
earth
clarifying.
And
shape
it. And then Leviathan's the water dude, and he just floods Limsa, and they all drown, and they
change. Kind of dude. Now, he's like
now,
a
now, when you say rock man, you're
lizards
talking about
are dudes too, Steve.
lizards are dudes too.
Now, when you say that Titan is a quote rock man, you are talking about he's a Mega Man, right? Throwback, yes. Come on, somebody get that, please.
I'm like, okay.
What is that's what is yeah. Odin is mentioned, but he's also mentioned as an elder primal. And in these documents, they
don't play games.
They do mention summoning primals after their defeat and pets. So I'm wondering if we're going to have primals and then we're going to have elder primals, where the elder ones are like maybe the storyline. Based ones, and then regular primals will be the summons.
Could be. Maybe. Could
I
be.
Don't know.
Who knows? I you know, an offhanded reference about summoning, it's a Final Fantasy game. To have a Final Fantasy game without the ability to summon avatars is pretty strange. So
well, then they also have, well, everyone's going to be able to summon like pets and crap too eventually.
Yeah, in the concept art that they showed off, they have a chocobo fight alongside of you.
That's right.
You know, that is something that they have kind of talked about a little bit before.
I don't remember hearing that before, but whatever, Fuse.
What you get for not reading.
But
sometimes I can't.
In terms of things that they've laid out for the map redesign, they're going to be abolishing seamless areas to allow for more dynamic map design, which is awesome. They're going to be implementing at least three unique themes to each area, and there's going to be a complete overhaul of enemy and object placement using revamped development tools. And it says at the bottom, we will continue to balance and improve existing maps to ensure an exciting, stress-free experience while playing during the months leading up to the unveiling of the new Orzea. That's really encouraging. I'm not I don't do a whole lot of traveling. I've got this quest that sends me to Mordonia for the first time, and I keep dying trying to get there.
That is a beast of a trip.
Oh, yeah. But I keep dying in Gridania, and it's or in the Black Shroud, rather, and it's kind of driving me crazy. But, I mean, I already liked the maps that were there. I understand why people... you would use the term copy and pasted, but I never really had a problem with them. I always loved how big they were and how far you could see. The draw distance was always something that was really impressive to me.
For me, like, it always felt like, if you're in like, we'll use 11 as an example, like you're in the Highlands, you're going from like Gustaberg to the dunes, and it feels like it's just taking forever and it all looks the same.
Yeah.
That's the feeling that I get in a lot of the maps in 14. But actually, if you look at the they have some concepts of the new maps on a few of them. If you look, the background of that image is actually existing maps.
Right.
So like when they show part of the Black Shroud, you can actually see the current map kind of in the background, presumably where this is, you know, going to be in relation to now. So like the Black Shroud map they have now, it's like right above like Emerald Moss. So, you know, a lot of stuff is getting shifted. The maze crap is going away, which is probably like the best thing they could have ever done.
Yeah, that's a great decision right there.
They have 1/8 right crystal on there. They don't show any gates. One of the concept art images actually had like a red 8th rate crystal.
Yeah,
like
that whole, was all
like, camp was like destroyed.
Broken up.
So I wonder if they're going to remove a bunch of them or if they're going to give them other purposes. When COP came out for 11, they took one of the crystals at the teleport crags and turned it into a teleport into Promivian or something. So, I mean, you know, who knows what that's going to be?
Yeah, and some of these concept art, we could sit here and talk for days.
Oh yeah,
about
there's a lot of what looks like those kind of holes like exploding out of the ground.
Yeah,
it was in one of the concept images for the maps. I think it's going in Mordona. I need to open this up because that's going to drive me nuts. But I know they have one. There's an image of Limsa where it shows kind of like this crater type thing, but it says like it's like a floating coliseum.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
That looks kind of weird.
Artwork for a new floating coliseum planned for the construction near Limsa Lominsa for the use in PvP. And then below it says area maps are what make up the realm of Orizea, and those areas are built on the foundation of servers. Unfortunately, the current server network in Final Fantasy XIV is inherently flawed and will require a massive overhaul to meet the high expectations we have set for the future of the project. To ensure global success and stability over the game's extended lifetime, we began to work on the construction of a completely new server system earlier this May. So they've been at work on this thing since May, a whole redesign that we haven't even seen on top of what they're adding to the game now.
Some of this stuff is just so crazy. Okay, yeah, here's what I was talking about in regards to like the stuff coming out of the ground. And it's funny because some of them almost reminds you of like the Final Fantasy VII meteor icon a little bit.
Yeah,
if you look at them, there's like this kind of bolt, like the sphere and then the crap coming out of it. But there's one here of I think it's Northern Lenosia. It's got like it. You have the lake in the middle, and now there's like this whole like temple there. Like, where did that come from? Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
it kind of gives me like nightmares of the water temple in Ocarina of Time a little bit.
Oh,
but
man,
like that looks really cool. And then they show what I don't know if it's a new area or if it's Mordona or what it is, but there's it's crazy with some of the stuff that they're adding here, and it's I think this kind of. I don't even know what to call it. It's like the coming out of the ground crap. Like it looks like it's everywhere.
There's definitely something happening underneath the earth in Orizea. And I mean, they're already kind of alluding to it in some of the storyline missions where they're talking about the aether that flows through the earth.
There you go. And, you know, one of the things that they did mention in the, in one of the development documents was something about a crystal tower.
Yeah,
that sounds like, I mean, it's got a, you know, your classic Final Fantasy vibe to it, but that you think of like something Delkfoot's tower, where it we know it was connected to all the crags and stuff like that. What if, you know, the crystal tower was somehow connected to the Aetherites, and one day it was like, yeah, let's just like blow all these things up or something, or it got overloaded or something, primals. But I mean, there's so many things they could do to it that would just be awesome.
Well, what is the Garlean Empire? How are they meddling in the Aether that is under the Earth? You know what I mean? Like, that's, I think that's gonna, something's gonna be unlocked, some crazy force that we can't fathom yet.
Odin, man. Maybe.
Could be. Maybe. I mean, there are a lot of shots of Odin on here.
Knock it off.
I really dig the new concept art for the Imperial Stronghold.
I saw that first, and I thought it was Old Eye. I thought it was a new Old Eye.
Yeah, because it does. It looks like it's in the Thanalan area. But I, you know, whatever this little gate is here, right at the front, I mean, all of the building designs that I see in here are just so awesome. Even the little like Limsa Lominsa like stronghold thing that we see on page 22 of the concept art PDF. That is, I mean, it's simple, but it's awesome. Like I definitely dig the direction that they're taking the architecture in.
Yeah, absolutely. And they show, it looks like there might even be a couple of these kind of strongholds, because there's two maps. There's one that shows, and I can't remember the guy's name. He's one of the Garlean guys, like one of the head guys. It's not the silver guy, the black guy, the guy in like the last mission cutscene you can get to. I can't remember his name, but it shows him, and it shows like Robon in the background, but it doesn't have that kind of faded, current map like a lot of the other maps do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this is a new area or if they just don't have that, because it shows some stuff that looks like Thanalan landmarks. Like it looks like an entrance to the mines. It has the things out at Blue Fog, but then it shows like the Garlean stronghold.
If it's a stronghold, much like the Beastmen strongholds, it's not. Maybe. I mean, it's not terribly huge. It could be something that's established as the Garleans start to work their way inward into the territory of Orzea. I mean, there's this really, again, we've mentioned this before, but there's this really fascinating conflict that's going on between these three nations and the Garlean Empire that Cid's playing a pretty significant role in. That could be something that is established in Thanalan and could conceivably act in a similar fashion to the Beastmen strongholds currently.
I would love to see it not take place in Thanalan, just because it feels like we're already at the point where everyone's just kind of in Olda, you know, that's right, where everyone's migrated to. And it feels like a lot of the stuff that they released, like when they released the Chocobo video, where did they show Chocobos running around in? Thanalan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, it seems like they're showing off Thanalan a lot. Like, you know, we're not getting a bunch of promo footage of stuff in, like, the Black Shroud.
It felt like they put a lot more effort into the design of Olda and Thanalan than they did some of the other areas, although granted, Korthus is probably my favorite area in the game.
Everything in that zone is just great. The scenery looks great. The music is fantastic. Yeah,
I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely, and I can't wait to check out Ishgard. It's definitely, I think, where everyone is going to end up heading as soon as it's made available.
Well, and then we have a map of northern Korthus here, or central Korthus, with Ishgard at the top here. It looks like there's another one of those Garlean strongholds.
Right.
We have another one of those crazy, like, explosion landmark things. We have one of the Exali Temple that was in the concept art with this new stuff here. And then there's this really crazy image of, like, the behemoth, like, on the ledge.
Yeah. With that thing, with whatever it is in the background.
Korthus is just going to have all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, here's another really interesting page from this outline where they're talking about the UI system. They're saying from a programming standpoint, the multi-tiered code used in the current UI system has become overly complex, and it's preventing them from making the improvements that they have planned. Therefore, they've chosen to completely rebuild the UI and the UI system core in conjunction with the server system updates. Not only this allows us to implement new features. Wow, that's a really awkwardly written sentence. But also significantly, this is the best part, significantly yes. improves response times and opens the door for user-made add-ons. Now, this may be what people have been latching onto and calling, it's going to be a WoW clone. No, user-made add-ons are awesome. Windower, that's all I got to say.
A lot of people are jumping on that. They're like, oh, add-ons, but
that's awesome.
Known about
it's
that.
Not, it's not like it's
since before the game came out. They said they wanted to do add-ons.
Exactly. Like, they wanted to support it.
There's always been a folder for add-ons in the.
This is more of a we're still doing it, not a hey we're gonna do this.
Right.
So people that are freaking out about it need to calm down.
But it's great that now we have. You know, 2.0, that's going to usher in some kind of API that developers can use to start programming awesome stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, and note too that one of the best parts, obviously, you know, besides like smoother UI and everything, you know, no more lag with the new servers, is they said that you're going to be able to do like WoW has the dungeon finder stuff where you can like automatically group up with people. Final Fantasy 14 is going to do that across worlds.
Yeah, that was a really interesting statement right there. Across worlds, they're gonna encourage like cross server play. Is that
for like instanced content? Yeah,
that's amazing.
I think that's for PvP also.
Yeah,
right.
It might be
badass.
That would be pretty sweet.
In the past, they have talked about ways to compete against other servers. You know, we kind of got a little bit of that when they have they introduced the grand company rankings. You know, you can mm-hmm. see like who's kind of at the top of each grand company.
It's like the perfect. It's so perfect because people don't like world PV. Not everyone, because I've played games where I've enjoyed it, but this is like the perfect competitiveness. But it's not always in your face. You're dying when you're trying to whatever mine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's just awesome. That's. Someone over there is a genius, and I think his name might be Yoshi P.
You know what's one of the things, like, you when you think about it, you just go, like, oh, man. Like, okay, so they spent how long developing 14, the initial 14, for it to come out and just totally tank?
Yeah.
But along with that, they're pouring all this money and energy into Crystal Tools.
Yeah.
And now it's like, yeah, it sucks. We're making another change. Like, is it a modified version of Crystal Tools? Is it the new Luminous engine that we've been seeing pictures from? Like,
who knows? I mean, if they're chucking out Crystal Tools, guess what? You know, they tanked an entire film studio in Hawaii. Square Enix are ballers, guys. Like, they have money to throw around.
It's funny, too, because, you know, I forget when it was, but at one point I remember them talking about, like, yeah, Crystal Tools is a pain in the ass to work with for MMOs. I'm like, you guys developed it.
Let's think about this for a second, too. 2.0 comes out roughly over a year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then that's not even an expansion. You know what I mean?
No, that's going to be a long year. I think we need to stop that real quick and have Square Enix pour some money into like being able to freeze people and reanimate them like in a year, and then they can like keep going. This is going to be a long year.
Man, you know,
dude, but it's going to be so exciting because we get to watch it happen. It's not like we're just coming to it.
That's what I told myself. It's so bad. And I was telling Zyle this the other day after the first time I logged in after seeing the 2.0 screenshot. I'm like, God, this game looks like crap.
Meanwhile, it's the best looking MMO right now I've ever seen.
For real.
Period.
For
real.
And I thought that to myself. I'm like, the hell is wrong with me? It's just like it's so different. It just the UI just looks. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's more simpler, but it just more WoW factor.
It looks
and
more
I don't mean
badass.
WoW as in World of Warcraft. It pops.
Yeah.
Hey, can we go back to add-ons for a second?
Yeah.
Go ahead. So I've never played a game with, like, add-ons that were, you know, quote-unquote allowed by the devs.
Right, right.
What kind of add-ons do people tend to make for MMOs? Is it just like I just don't...
I think
in Windware we had, like, Tea Party and stuff like that, or whatever it was called, where you saw everyone's TP.
Right, but I mean, if you look at the updated UI concept, it looks like all of that potential information that, you know, we would get from Windor. Yeah, it's totally in there. I mean, you know, you start dissecting the thing, and oh geez, now it's not in front of me. Where to go? Well, there it is. Okay, so you start dissecting the thing. If you look right next to the HP and MP, there's this there's this T1, A2, B3, A4. That I think is an enmity monitor. And then you've got your statuses, your spells, whatever, your buffs or debuffs as they were next to the party on the right side of that. If you look at the center, there's like, it looks like there's some distance readings. There's like a 4.6, a 4.5 there.
I forgot about distance.
Yeah,
where's the distance?
It's look right in the middle of where the head is breathing fire, and like the two little clicks below that.
I can't look at everything. The whole thing.
It is tiny. It's really, really tiny, and it's gold, and it says 4.2.
Oh, yeah,
so you know, you've got a lot of these things that are going to be plugged into the UI that you know wouldn't take a development tool like Windor. What I would be personally really excited for is some API that a site like Guildwork could latch onto. And if you're familiar with what they've been doing with Final Fantasy XI and being able to read shout data on your smartphone and all the stuff that they're doing with Guildwork Premium, that's the kind of stuff that I'm really excited for, like being able to check to get tells on my smartphone, or to be able to check my market ward
production killer. Jeez.
It's interesting too, because you look at the concept screenshot and you're like, all right, this is stuff that the Final Fantasy XI community kind of took upon themselves to add. So I mean, and you know they're Square's really listening now, so I mean,
right, yeah,
if an add-on comes out that's popular, aren't they, you know, are they just gonna be like, great, we'll leave it as an add-on, or will they take that and actually implement it into the game?
Who knows,
there's gonna have to be some. I mean, are we gonna have to pay for add-ons, do you think?
No.
It depends.
They have to be free.
I would imagine that they would.
Someone would be making money off of their game, so that's right. Probably not allowed, I'm sure.
Right, and add-ons are only going to be on the PC too, so there's going to have to be some kind of limitation in what they'll allow, I'm sure. I mean, it could be stuff like UI changes. Like, you know, maybe allow, you know, like 12 action bars to be shown, you know, if you want, like, you know, an inch of visible play field on your screen or something. But I've seen Google like crazy WoW UI or something. And there's ridiculous
crazy WoW UI.
Like, I've seen screens where there's just like bars and timers all over the damn screen.
Yeah.
I have no idea how people can play that. And that's when I first heard that they were going to allow add-ons in 14. I was so worried it was going to turn into that.
Well, like in 11, some of the add-ons people used from Windor were so, I don't know, I don't want to say needed, because you didn't really need them, but, I mean, stuff...
Should have really...
Stuff, like, stuff yeah, that, yeah, that should have been there.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Just the being able to window the game. That's just a place to start.
Yeah,
if I can
get a milestone for Square Enix.
Right. And resolution changes, that would be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, but you know, here's a page that we haven't really talked about, but I think is really cool. They gave an entire slide to talking about the player community, saying the implementation of a new server system will allow us to greatly improve and expand on current player community features. The following list is some of the additions being planned. Additional in-game community options like free company establishment, growth, and competition.
Hey, there's something we haven't heard about in a long time.
Yeah, right. In-game delivery and mail systems, player housing, which is real. Also, I always love player housing.
Keep in mind too that some of this stuff is coming before 2.0.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff is coming before 2.0.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. A lot of the big things are 2.0, like mailboxes. Mm-hmm. That's 2.0.
It's just that I think that shows you how odd the structure rooms of the old one is.
Yeah, private rooms I think we're going to be getting before 2.0. It's like a lot of the stuff they're working on, and then they're going to port it over in 2.0. Like, there's got to be some kind of similarity with the engine. Hopefully the porting is somewhat easy.
Well, they're just rebuilding the game, so they probably rebuilt the engine as well. You know what I mean? Not start from scratch.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they may have tweaked the engine, but I.
But here's the other thing that we see on this slide that, I think that we've talked about this before, that we're going to be seeing the other genders in terms of the various races. Yeah, they
do show art for female Ro, male Mithra, or Mikote, and the female Highlander.
But no more info about possible dragon classes, which was the weirdest thing to hear about. Right? I couldn't even believe that when I heard that.
That's a question I need to ask on Monday. I need to write that down.
What do you mean, dragon class? Like a little dude with horns?
No. They talked about demi-humans and dragons.
We were talking about that last week.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
you know what, speaking of the other genders and such, they were saying that PDF that because of the new graphics engine and the way, and because things will kind of display differently, mm-hmm. like with 2.0, Mikote might look completely different. So if you're a Mikote, they said that they're going to give players the option of
recreating their
character
from the ground up if you want.
That's awesome. That's fantastic.
Even if they weren't changing the graphic engine, I think they should offer that anyway just because of the new races or the new genders.
Well, yeah, I'm sure that's part of it too.
Maybe they don't need to do this as much if they're doing cross world instance sort of stuff. But I think with the implementation of 2.0, opening up servers for players that have already been there, you know what I mean, and allowing them to transfer, because when the first week that we had all gotten this game, it was like all of us went to separate servers, and I'd like to have another chance to be able to redo that.
I'm going to take this and guide it into something else. They mentioned that in the next few months here, by December, they're going to start billing us.
Yes, they did.
Which people are ridiculously upset about, but I would have started paying after.
Here's my thing. If you've been playing this game since release and you're complaining about having to pay now, shut up.
Yeah,
you've been playing the game free for a year. If you're still playing it, you're obviously enjoying it on some level.
If you've been able to play this for a year, you owe them.
Right.
I don't even know how you played.
If you didn't like it, why were you playing it? Free is not an excuse. I'm sorry. If you don't like it, you wouldn't be playing it for as long as you have been. My issue lies with during the last live Q&A, Yoshida said that he felt the game was about 50% towards where it should be. And this whole thing, the whole reason they weren't charging is because it wasn't complete.
Right.
So the guy comes out, says it's halfway there. Oh, by the way, we're going to start charging you now. Did they not, like, did Yoshida and Wada not, like, talk before they said those things? Because that doesn't really go together very well.
Right, yeah.
But, I'm curious if what they think is going to happen once they hit that button to start billing people. Do they think a lot of people are going to leave? Are they expecting
that might be half the reason they're doing it, to see what people actually do, because there's going to be a difference between what people say and what they do.
That's true.
You know,
but not only that, keep in mind, we just saw 1.19 hit, and before December we'll have 1.20, and in December we should see 1.21, and that I think after 1.21
1.21 was February.
I'm seeing on the timeline here that the break happens at about December for 1.21.
I could be reading this entirely wrong, but if I'm to believe this graph, we should be getting 1.21 around the same time that they start billing us.
About January,
yeah,
would be my guess, because it says December
makes sense.
To January. I'm going to go on the later end and say January,
right?
Yeah,
and I think it would be advantageous on their part to let people have a week with 1.21 and then go, okay.
Well, considering 1.21 is going to be jobs, absolutely.
Yes. That and see, that's the one that's going to bring people back.
Or they could just start with the new year. I mean, that would kind of make sense.
That would also make sense.
And 1.21 would be kind of like right with it, so to speak.
Either way, December and January are right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It's mid-October, which I thought it was June, like last week, so
well, I'm a mess. Keep this in mind, too. On this timeline, they say 1.19 was supposed to be live in September. So
yeah, well,
they might be a little behind. So I think that's why I was thinking of February for 1.21, because it's shifted a little bit to where I don't know. You know, they may not be able to make these deadlines.
Maybe
well,
not.
My guess is almost that some of this stuff, once they've done it, you know, 1.19, and you know, it's only going to make the other stuff easier. I'm trying to.
Well, that's true too. I mean, they've, you know, once 1.18 came out, they said, okay, you know, battle stuff is kind of not done, but the big stuff is out of the way,
right?
So that they can work on some other stuff quicker. The one thing on this timeline that I am absolutely looking forward to, and I was telling Ganymede and Gahu, we need to book our stuff now. At E3, they're going to show off a trailer for 2.0.
Yeah,
and my bet is if they're distributing 2.0 software in October, they'll probably have a playable alpha or beta version of the game at E3, would be my guess.
I hope that they allow existing users into the alpha and beta process.
Well, here's the thing.
For 2.0.
They never talk about a beta of 2.0 for PC.
That's right.
But they have to have one, though.
We're going to be playing it.
No, I don't think so. I would think that an entirely new client, completely new.
All right.
A new server structure. You're going to have load balancing. You're going to have to do stress testing. It's going to have to happen. There has to be a beta phase that includes the PC as well. Because you gotta, yeah. I mean, think of how many problems we've had with the graphics engine alone, and how well it ran on certain hardware. You know, with what we have, and even still, it runs heavy and laggy.
Yeah,
and
kidding. Final Fantasy 14 shows up and like punches Crisis in the face. It's like, what's up?
Kabam!
You got nothing.
So, I do think that whatever beta period that is going to include the PS3 also has to include the PC. Has to.
You would think so. I mean, it depends how big of a difference there is between these clients.
If
it's a tweaked engine compared to like a whole new engine, I mean, there's just so many.
They seem to imply that it is fairly significant. So, you know, there's that big red, you know, block that says reboot phase. Like, we're not fucking around here, people.
I love it.
There's probably like a big red button at Square Enix headquarter. She was like, can I push the button now? I'm like, all right.
Reboot!
Incoming game.
Old servers explode.
Right?
They explode.
That'd be awesome. They play like the...
It'll be like the printer or fax or whatever it was.
Just like
they're
going
to take the old servers out and just destroy
or they just invite Bill Murray over, they give him some dynamite, and they say go to town, and they have a little like dancing gopher in the background.
Bill Murray's getting kind of old to pull that gag off, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a great bit in Zombieland, but seriously, the reason to watch that movie is for the Bill Murray appearance,
man.
But he is looking haggard these days.
Garfield, maybe.
Garfield.
Let's not talk about that. Oh, man.
Such a good movie.
But, it really is exciting. It's somewhere in this outline, there was a mention of voice chat functionality, wasn't there?
It wasn't. I thought that was specifically voice chat. They talked about.
They said voice is all they said.
Voice in four languages, which could be taken two ways. It could be enabling, yeah. Some type of voice chat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe region specific, or it could mean that they're going to do more voices in cutscenes.
Yeah, that would be cool too.
Which they do need because. They're in like there's you know
they're in the very small beginning
handful, and then there's not like 1.19 head speeches from the grand company leaders. That would have been the best time
seriously
ever to have speech in this game, sure. But no,
yeah,
no.
they really need to have more voice acting in the game.
But
I don't know if you guys know, but Old Republic is doing their beta testing now, or their
everything
alpha
is
testing,
everything
whatever.
In that game is fully voiced.
Everything is voice acted.
Yeah, I did hear that. That's insane.
Which is insane.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, that is, it's insane. But to a degree, like the cutscenes, especially like really important ones or mission ones, those need to be voiced, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Although. I wasn't
2011 people.
Yeah. Although I don't think I was terribly happy with the voice acting that I heard in the very intro cutscene sequences.
Hit them harder.
Seriously. Like
I do kind of want to punch the Lalafell that's in the opening Limsa thing. I really just want to like kick him off the mast into the water.
Jump right beyond. But
it's funny that you mentioned that opening cutscene because I didn't know this. I think it was like watching the credits. Like one day, you know, you can like watch the credits in the main window when you log in. Nolan North, he's actually the guy that does Drake in Uncharted.
No
does the
way.
Voice of the Hire in the opening video.
Oh, really?
No way. Yeah.
Yes.
More reason to love him.
And I think
love him.
I think Claudia Black does the Mikote. I could be mistaken.
I don't know who that is.
Chloe?
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does a lot of voice stuff.
Yeah.
Well, now that you say that, I almost hear it in my head. You know what I mean?
Listen to it again, or go and watch it again, and you might be able to pick up on it now that you know. But, like, I think Nolan was in there. I can't remember if Claudia was for sure, but I was like, what? I can just see like Matt at SE. I know he loves Uncharted. Matt. He's like, dude. But I mean, it's just more voice acting could not hurt the game.
Pro tip for SE. Just throwing it out there. You don't need to hire professional voice actors that are gonna gouge your damp. You don't need to hire John DiMaggio to do everything. You know what I mean? There are people who do it on the cheap and will do it just as well.
Right.
Yeah, like me.
I think most of us would do it for
right.
free.
If only there were a group of vocal players of Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, I wonder.
Fly out to Japan for free and do it.
It's not like
awesome.
It's not like I don't have awesome microphones.
That's the email I want to get. Yeah, we'd like to fly you out to record some voiceover work for an NPC.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Fusion gets there, it's the gay NPC.
Doing 14's version of Mayakov.
I think, yeah. That drove me so nuts. I would have rather had a voiced over Mayakov than the text one because when they try to, like, you know.
Yeah, it is. It makes it really hard to read.
Text, it makes it so hard to read.
Yeah.
And for the record, Mayakov was a Nero's character, so I'm not.
it was my character model. And that's not saying much considering how many character models exist in that game.
Hey, can we go back to VOIP for a second?
yeah.
Wouldn't you think it would be awesome for them to. Go ahead and like hire Ventrilo or TeamSpeak or something to make a VOIP client for them.
There are companies out there that do work with MMO companies to integrate voice chat. But the problem with that is I don't think you can monitor it. And a lot of the games that do that are region specific or have region specific servers. It's not just a global server. It's pretty much just everybody, you know?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is a place like Ventrilo would get upset that, or the people that sell the servers anyway, would get upset that they're putting it in the game so people don't have to pay for their clients anymore. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So why not hire a company like that and then, you know, give them, you know, 50 cents a month from every person, you know, a quarter. That's probably more than they make in Ventrilo client, you know what I mean? Servers.
To give Link Shells a complimentary vent server?
Well, no, it'd be in the game, is what I'm saying.
In-game
chat is not a hard thing to do. Eve has had it for years.
Well, considering
that's what I'm saying is if, like, I understand it's a lot of work, but they could easily hire a company like Ventrilo or TeamSpeak to do
And with that too, you also got to consider that this game is going to be multi-platform.
That's true. Yeah, you have a great point
that's
there.
That's why if it's in game though.
That's true.
I'm using a PS3 headset right now.
Yeah, we know that they're redesigning the UI completely. You could, in theory, have some kind of in-game voice chat that's supported by the UI that kind of acts sort of like a party, either a party function, or you have multiple channels that people can go to. Users can kind of create their own channel, whatever. And the thing is that it would have to be adminned by some kind of company like TeamSpeak or something. There would definitely have to be someone at the helm.
Speech to text.
Microsoft
Sam, kind of messy.
GTFO.
Well, the thing is, too, no one wants to run through Limsa Limitsa and hear a bunch of goobers chat about their.
Can somebody
right? Hey, you
in the blue helmet, pants. Stop! I need some pants.
But like, you know, you get the party invite, and then just after the party invite, you get the VoIP invite. You know what I mean? And right.
Link Shell party. That right. would be awesome.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but
I don't think they'll do it.
Of course, if it's built into the game like that, it's going to start to. I think it would be almost expected. And I'll be honest, like I really hate using a headset in a lot of my console games.
Right.
I just hate dealing with the stupid people and the kids that apparently have had relationships with my mother that I'm completely oblivious to.
A lot of other games do kind of thrust us into. Having to interact with other people that populate
the
game.
You're playing an MMO. You're not playing Final Fantasy 27.
Yeah, but I don't think at the same time that anyone would want to, go into Limsa Lomensa and have to hear a torrent of, you know, seventh graders discovering the F word. You know what I mean?
Bacteria into my pants.
But for some reason,
I don't think they'll do voice chat because. No.
I don't think
it is a role-playing game, and like role players, I don't think would be all down to be voice chatting.
But here's what would be cool, though.
Why are you talking in old English? What are you doing? I'm role-playing, mother.
But here's what would be cool, though, is along with the Link Shell and party. Channels that you could have if it was attached to the game, you could have a massive, city city server, VoIP server where, you have the option to join it and hear what people.
It was as intense as like the area around you too. Like if you had it set to say, like you could run through.
That would be kind of crazy. I mean,
you could hear like the merchants or something. You know what I mean? And you could hear the two dudes in the corner kind of talking.
Right. Yeah, that's
some crazy technology. I'm not saying it's possible. I'm saying it would be cool.
I can't imagine some just big general like VoIP like just talk with everybody. However, I could see somebody developing an add-on.
That's true.
Connects either with a vent or a Skype or something, says, okay, these people in your party, these people have their Skype accounts, linked into this add-on. If you want, you can hit a button, call group. That would
be actually pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, you know, I don't know if that's even possible, but something like that would make sense. And they've said in the past, and I kind of agree, like, you know, and it kind of goes the same with like link shell forms and stuff like that. Like, yeah, they could offer it, but how many people already use their own thing?
True.
That's the reason why the Final Fantasy XI link shell community bombed. Because everyone already had their forums because it came out like, you know, 20 years after the fact.
Yeah, but like Chin was trying to say, like, how many people would bail on their you know, TeamSpeak or whatever server that they have to pay monthly for? A ton of people would, you know. I mean, I guess it depends if you use Skype or not. But you talked about,
you know, being able to like send tells, you know, from like your phone or something like that. Well, what if people are away and they can't log into the game, but they could get access to like Vent or something?
Right.
So
you can. I can get Vent on my droid.
There you
yeah.
go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a thing. I think it would be cool. I don't know. I'm really excited for the future of this game. I've never been more excited for Final Fantasy 14, anything for Final Fantasy 14 than I am for it right now. Like,
yeah,
absolutely. I agree. Like,
even when we first heard that there is going to be a Final Fantasy 14 online, I've never been more excited than I am right now.
I'm looking at the roadmap for 2.0 development. I just noticed this. It kind of makes me laugh. One of the last things that they're working on is support desk.
They're like, quit bitching.
Like, May to July, support desk.
Maybe.
Oh, man. And again, you know, if you're wondering about any of this stuff that we're talking about, it is laid out in a really intense
several segment document. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
there's four documents.
The breakdown of the timeline is really fascinating to see what we get when we get it.
And how much there is. There's so much.
Yeah.
Do you know what really impresses me is that they've been working on all this stuff, but they've still been providing constant, you know, content updates for us.
Yes.
And, you know, they've been giving us news. We've been getting letters from the producer all this while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it hasn't interrupted their ability to actually support the game.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's ever going to slow down. I mean, because obviously, right now, they're hauling ass trying to get done. But what happens after, okay, 2.0 is out, everything's going well? Do they, like, are there people on the 14 team that were from 11 that they're going to shuffle back?
God,
do they have people working for them? Or, you know, or are they going to keep the same pace? Honestly, there's no way.
After 2.0, let them take a month off, come back, and work on something else.
Because
these guys have been...
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I never would have thought all... Like, I... You know, you could probably think, all right, well, they're always working on something new. But all of that is, this dude
hasn't
taken a day off in 6 months.
Yeah.
And he gets 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah. He's a machine.
Dude, like, I get like 6 hours of sleep and I'm dead. Like, I can't even function. This guy's like, yeah, 4 hours, I'm good to go.
He's like, I love chocobos.
I do hope, you know, because there was that big reshuffling of development teams that happened about a year ago between 11 and 14. And I hope that they do kind of take some of those folks and put some resources back into 11.
To put somebody on the other end of the teeter-totter there.
God, yeah.
You know, as awesome as 14 is doing... That's how much not awesome 11 is doing.
The true story.
11 has come and gone. The moon has set on 11, or the sun.
But it doesn't have to. I don't think it has to. I think that with some well-placed, well-designed content that you could get people back in an instant. Because, you know, you noticed with the Empyrean armor that people got really interested and then they got it, like, within the span of, you know, either a month or 3 months or 6 months, depending on how dedicated you were to getting it. And then we all kind of were like, all right, well...
Yeah, and now the updates it's all tweaking old content.
Exactly.
And, like, NMs. Like, that's it.
And that's not real content. There needs to be something that happens with 11. They're hemorrhaging players. They're in terms of that's the money, that's the MMO, that's the game that people are paying for. So I understand why they're a little bit anxious to flip the payment switch, because they, you know, I joked about it earlier that SE are ballers, but no company can sustain a model where, you know, they're continually pumping in money and not getting anything back out. So right.
I mean, and the fact that they're billing now, it makes me wonder, like, do they think that they're, you know, doing that bad, you know, money wise? Like, it's like, you know, if we don't start charging, we can't do this. Like, is it
Final Fantasy title that's come out has been like crap. So dude, they can't be doing great.
Square Enix has when you think about how mammoth the company is and how many good games mm-hmm. they do put out that aren't Final Fantasy games, like, you know, I don't know, like Just Cause 2 or Batman Arkham Asylum
Deus Ex.
Deus Ex.
I got to my first like pre-rendered video cutscene. I'm like, you couldn't do this in engine, really. You had to use like this horribly compressed video that looks like ass. So
Tomb Raider.
Yeah, dude, Tomb Raider is going to be epic. Hitman, I mean,
they made a game. They're like, let's just do something where we just like beat the shit out of Lara Croft. We'll have her like land on spikes and stuff. Sure, that'll work.
All of those IDOS properties that they got their hands on when they acquired IDOS. I mean, you know, it does. Those products do really well, especially in North America.
Yeah, but every branch of the company has to pay for itself. You can't be... they probably leaned on the Final Fantasy series for quite a long time, but...
Yeah,
there real. Has been a massive shift on that.
But you can't say that, oh, we're going to drop an MMO and then... You know, like, not go and fix it when it's as fucked up as it was. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way. You can't, as a company, they were like, all right, we got kind of locked into this thing. We have to ride it out all the way. But what I'm saying is that as a full company, they have enough money and assets to sustain mm-hmm. themselves the way that they have been. But I understand the anxiety wanting to make players pay for this.
The way that they work is when they release a game, they kind of like they kind of project, you know, at what point that game is going to start actually turning a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And for Final Fantasy XI, they said it was going to be 5 years, but for 14, it probably will never recoup the amount that they've lost.
I think with 2.0, the amount of sales they'll get just from people dying to try it now that didn't buy it when it first came out, I think, I'm not saying they'll come close, but
I mean they'll
come to the realization that they can pull it around.
I think even if the game becomes tremendously successful after the 2.0, I really don't think that it'll, you know, turn a profit. I think they've lost so much that
I don't know, Steak, because nowadays you can do stuff like okay, they're gonna let us recreate our characters, right? Because they're re-rendering or whatever the crap you want to call it. If they can do that, then they can charge you $10 after that anytime you want to do that.
See,
you played Ion. You could pay $10 to change your race. You could change $10 to change your name.
But then
stuff
you're
like
getting,
that is a huge money maker.
But then you're getting really close to microtransactions, and they've said
that's totally different. It's one thing to change your race. It's another thing to be like, oh, you want this sword? Here's
true.
Ion isn't microtransaction. You can't buy gear, but you can
buy...
No,
they're going in that direction with the microtransactions with Ion. That's kind of where they are today.
But it seems like any game that allows for the beginning of microtransactions, it's like a slippery slope. It's one of those things where, you know, like, oh, this is really making us a lot of money. We got to do it with way more stuff. And then you get to the point where, oh, it's... I have to pay... $3.99 to be able to use my chocobo anywhere I want. You know what I mean? Something like that. Lord of the Rings Online does that kind of crap all the time. Like, you need horse skill and you have to buy it from the Lotro store, and you can either farm up turbine points in game or buy them through using real currency. it's a really slippery slope. If you're going to make your money that way, then go for it and do it 100% with microtransactions and make the game free. I don't think it can be, it has to be one or the other. It can't be a balance of both. But if they, like you were saying, Chin, if it was, you know, stuff like changing your appearance or, you know, changing something fundamental about your character or something like that, you know, server transfers, that kind of thing, you can charge for those and, you know, and it's not quite as invasive as microtransactions are on an MMO economy.
Yeah, once you get to the point where
I get your point, though, that it is a slippery slope, because I agree with that. Because when does it end, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't encourage that kind of development, you know, that kind of development philosophy.
Time, I would encourage it if it meant the difference between, not microtransactions, but little things, you know? Mm-hmm. If it meant the difference between them making new content or not.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy isn't really the style of game that supports the microtransactions, because typically what you see is, you know, costumes that you can wear for your character and stuff, and that's really not conducive to the Final Fantasy environment as much, you know, that we've seen.
Sure. That makes sense. I don't see them going a microtransaction direction.
I think they will. I think if they didn't see a way nowadays in this world, in this economy, they wouldn't be investing in it still if they didn't think they could turn a profit in the end, or at least break even.
It'll go on for 15 years and then they'll shut the servers down and they'll be like, dude, we just made $10.
Yeah, that's about what I see happening.
I would be really interested. Square Enix every year releases a financial statement, a financial report to its investors, and usually, you know, there's some kind of talk about Final Fantasy XI and how healthy it is. I want to see this year's financial statement.
The most recent one was terrible.
Most recent one said they lost something astronomical.
It was like a 92%. It was a 92% loss or something.
It was
that from that one guy bailing and selling all of his Square Enix stock that made it plummet?
Well, they said that it was primarily because of 14, you know, the
amount. I wonder if that guy saw 2.0 and he's like, crap.
Damn it! No! I hope so. I hope that guy shit his pants.
You could still buy, dude. It's still low. Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
Invest my retirement into 2.0. Psych.
Can I
say something real quick? I really, you know, playing 11 for, you know, a lifetime, it seems like, and then playing 14 and being so disappointed at the start right off the bat. And I was disappointed with parts of 11, obviously, but it kept me playing.
Mm-hmm.
I've never felt so, I don't even know the word, so...
hype?
No, like Square actually gives a shit about the players, as I do.
Yeah.
Because they've done a lot of things that make you think, why would they even do this? This makes people not want to play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I'm just saying they've done good by me as of right now, and I'll gladly... you know, pay for my subscription when the time comes.
Yeah, it's not like a huge... I mean, all they would have had to do is just be like, hi, we're listening. Like, and that just saying that would have been, like, miles ahead of where they were in 11.
But I think, never mind.
Oh, here's what we're doing in the next year. Enjoy.
It's like, now a word from
the producer.
Right, of, like, exactly.
The stuff, he just comes up, he's like, so, letter from the producer one. You have to stop its regen. See you next week.
So...
see you, bye.
You're right, and I think we have been getting those messages of, hey, we're listening to what you're telling us, from in the form of the letter from the producers. Mm-hmm. You know, those have been really clear communications between the development and the community, the development staff and the community, and everything that you need to know about 2.0, and I think everything that sums up my feeling about 2.0 is in this concept screenshot of in-game play. This is a game that I want to play. I'm looking at this and I'm going, I want this now. You know,
wait, let me blow your mind. let me blow it for just one second. Technically, you're already playing it.
I know.
There is no spoon in Arrow.
here's how you can sum up what everyone thinks about 2.0, right? Grab your Matrix DVD, find the part where Keanu Reeves goes, whoa, and just loop that, and that's what people are thinking.
That screenshot, I don't want to call it a screenshot, but that concept image really speaks to me and says yes, that they are listening, that they have taken notes from things like Windower that the community has really strongly kind of latched onto, to the point where, you know, they said that they weren't totally cool with Windower, but so many people used it that there was not. What were they going to do? Ban 75% of their community
when it was
cool at peak?
To the point where they're not doing anything about it.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Exactly. And clearly they've taken notes and they've learned from it, and they're going to be incorporating some of those ideas into the UI. And I love that. You're right. They're totally listening, and this image says that they're listening.
And the coolest part about that image, too, is you look at it and you're like, dude, I bet that UI looks awesome. But you know what? It also runs as smooth as butter, I bet.
I hope. New servers. Oh, yeah.
It can't not. Like, that's the whole reason they're moving and getting all this new hardware, is so that the game runs smoother.
Yeah. Yeah. Precisely.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
Can't wait. I really can't.
We have to wait a whole year, though.
I know. But we get little bits and pieces at a time.
I've waited longer for shittier things. Like, I've waited longer for things that have disappointed me more than this.
You know what? We all sat through episode one, The Phantom Menace. I think we can sit through a year of pre-2.0. I'm sure the storyline will be better, and there won't be any Jar Jar Binks.
Hallelujah, Jafar.
Is it gonna die?
Just, again, pro tip, don't have racially insensitive characters that are featured prominently in your story. Just saying.
Just saying.
Mouses out there, leaking in here.
Oh, man.
I don't even know what that was supposed to be.
It's Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, but I don't know what you said, dude. He's scaring me.
What else is new? Oh, what else is there to talk about? There's got to be something.
The job armor equipment looking stuff.
It's awesome. It looks great.
It's neat. You know what bugs me a little bit is on all the primal concept art, they like show like with and without horns. Like, really, that's all the primal fights? That's like, that's going to be the incapacitation thing? You're just going to knock off horns? Like, really?
I want to rip off Garuda's wings. Do you understand?
Okay, so wings and horns.
It's like, going to flop around like a fish.
That's right.
Fishy.
And that, Leviathan's like, what am I going to do then?
Was that one of the things that Age of Conan did, where they would have enemies that as they took damage, you would see like their limbs start falling off and stuff
Maybe.
Like that? I think that's kind really of a cool feature that I would like to see in other MMOs.
Yeah, all I know about Conan is like boobs, and you could like kick people off cliffs with your horse. That's about it.
Boobs.
Yeah, they had like the topless women. And then there was after an update, like all of the chest sizes like shrunk or something.
Just
people logged it, and they're like, what happened?
Just to clarify, that's not boobs, BOOBS. That's boobs, BEWBS.
Boobs.
Boobs.
Boobs. Boobs.
So yeah, I mean, I think that's the all my feelings about 2.0 have kind of been summed up here.
Yeah, I'm just like in shock. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
it's an exciting time. Exciting time. I would have never imagined this. I was hoping that this game would get better, but like, not completely overhauled.
Open up the lodestone, and it's like an important announcement regarding the. And has like Wada and Yoshida in the picture, and I'm like, oh Jesus, because we all know what happened the last time.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be like, we're done.
Yeah,
sorry, guys.
We're throwing guys.
We totally just had this like live Q&A, but yeah, we're done.
Not even. You get in there and they're like, nah, we're not. It ain't done. Not by like, a long shot. Like, we're throwing down a gauntlet.
They just hold you up by the shirt and they just slap you and they're like, what's up?
We're just
up?
Getting started, as a matter of fact.
You have yourselves a seat for a year and you enjoy the ride.
Oh, man, I can't get over it.
Yeah.
Every time I think about it, I just get wicked like,
tee-hee.
And it's it's one of those things where, you know, because the transformation between the current iteration of the game and 2.0 is something that we get to experience, it keeps me wanting to log in and keep progressing with my character. There, for a minute, I was like, well, now I don't want to log in because I just want that. Like, I just want that screen to be in exactly front of me all the time. And that's the game now.
It's done a complete, it's gotten me back into it again. Like, I get into it for a few weeks because there is, you know, such little stuff to do, especially if you're not 50, you know, because you can't do the big Ifrit fight or the Darkhold or really raid the strongholds.
Yeah.
But now it's, you know, now that's like, well, I need to get to 50 so I can do this stuff. And
leveling has become a lot easier too. So,
well, and the thing to keep in mind too is a lot of the stuff we can do now won't be available after 2.1 or 2.0.
That's true.
What do you mean it won't be available? I don't remember seeing that.
They said that that some of the stuff that's going on now, it's like it's a time specific thing. Like, it ain't happening again. Probably stuff more like the Garlean soldier appearances at the level 20 camps are up at they're at Camp Glory now.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Maybe quests. You know, with the map changes, they may. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I would have to imagine that they would overhaul quests. Maybe all quests would actually have to receive like a full reset. Like,
well, if you think about it, at the very least, they're gonna have to say, okay, now these mobs for this quest are in this zone. You know, like, they would have to redistribute those. They would have to redo positions for like stuff like cutscenes and all that.
Right.
Those areas aren't going to be there anymore.
Dude, we're going to, down the road, we're going to be like, do you remember what the game was like before 2.0? Do you remember?
And we're all just going to shudder and cry.
Remember, like, when Fenelon was just Fenelon and it wasn't like five different zones?
It wasn't like super mega Fenelon.
Do you remember?
2.0?
Back in my day, all the caves looked exactly the same.
When I was reading the information about 2.0, you know, they said that they're going to, you know, kind of cut the zones down so that they can make the zones a little bit more robust and different.
Mm-hmm.
That was never a really big deal for me. Like, it's nice to have the big, huge, wide-open area, and that's all
except
well
except when
good.
You're running from Uldada, Camp Broken Water. That's about as fun as a burnt stick poked in your eye. Jeez.
You're like, where am I now? I don't
even
know.
Even on a chocobo, I'm like, all right, can I put this on, like, auto-run and just come back in a half hour?
I would rather have smaller zones with more content.
It's like that run through, like, Lethane Plateau, where you're just like, am I there yet? No. What do you see? I see giant holes in the ground. Okay, keep going. You're almost there.
Maybe.
20 minutes later, am I there? You know, it's just like, oh my god. But I like the seamless aspect of it. But you know, if they can get more detailed areas, then I'm at, because I mean, there's actually some kind of cool areas hidden in the game right now. Like, there's the Naldthal, is it Naldthal or just Nald or just Thal? One, there's like a shrine up in Thanalan by whatever the northernmost hamlet is in Thanalan. Like just to the east of that, there's like a little cave with like this shrine. There's like a statue in it. You know, they're very rare, but there are placed some pretty cool areas in the map. But what they're doing is they're just making the area smaller, so it'll feel like you're moving a little quicker, and there will just be more cool stuff to see. And by looking at some of this concept art, like, damn,
yeah,
yeah.
Now, what I want. And I mean, I've said this before on the show, but as we get now that it's been made official that 2.0, that's a thing, as we get closer to it and it seems like there's going to be some kind of cataclysm from the concept art that we've seen, you know, especially with lips all kind of messed up and, you know, holes in the ground, things coming out, whatever. I would love, like, you know, for 2 weeks to have this huge, chaotic, crazy mass event across all servers.
I think we're going to get that.
I hope so.
At the timeline from August to September, it says radical changes to in-game world.
Okay. All right. That sounds awesome. I'm on board.
I mean, yeah, that would be the time to play, but I think, really, like, if you really want to get into it, if you're a huge, like, story buff or a lore buff, get in now,
yeah.
Start doing missions and quests and everything, because we don't know if some of this stuff is sticking around, if it's going to go, but it's all building up to this huge, massive change.
Yeah, whatever is coming. But it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I don't
know. You're so clever, man, because they totally sucked me back in, like to keep playing until 2.0. Like, if they had...
For sure.
If they hadn't made all these changes already, I would have been like, I'll wait till 2.0. But then they're like, oh, well, we did all this. We fixed a lot of crap. And now we're going to do a lot of crazy epic crap, and you're going to pay for it. And I'm like, okay, like, yeah, yes, sir.
And by the way,
here's like 4 PDFs. We'll
yeah.
Complimentary tissue to let you read those. And
Not yeah. only... Not only that, but they're going to justify it
for
through
tears
the
of
game.
Joy, but you know, whatever floats your boat.
I crack me up.
They're going to justify it through the story. That's the thing that gets me to stick around.
Yeah,
and
the
not just say
awesome
I'm going to wait for
already.
Two.
Already, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
I've been loving it.
Yeah,
that's just what kept me coming back to play was to progress to the next cutscene. You know, I love it. Love it.
All right. Anybody got anything else they want to throw out here before we start to wrap this guy out?
No, not that.
I think we've said all that can be said.
I think that we've run.
I got
this
one more thing. You know what I love about recording this? Shut up, Fuse.
You just like always like come in. You're like, I want to say this. I just gotta say this one thing.
Well, I love that we're talking about this, and we had to keep reminding each other like what it said. Because we all read it. I know we all read it word for word, like slowly, you know, absorbing the information.
There was just so much.
There was so much. We couldn't cap. You can't remember every little detail.
I did.
Shut up, Fuse. No, you did.
Just playing. All right. So this, I don't know when this will get out, but probably not in time. So I'm going to mention this for everybody listening right now and in our chat room. Monday morning, I'm going to be flying out to California to talk with Naoki Yoshida. We have a thread on the forums asking for questions. If you have them, get them in ASAP, like by tomorrow night. Nice. And I'll see how many I can throw his way. Also,
if they preface that interview with, we're not going to answer any questions about 2.0, are you just going to go,
it's the interview is about, reception of 1.19 and the future of Final Fantasy 14.
All right.
And
really,
and you stand up
really,
and walk out the room, you will be my hero.
honestly, they can't release this and then be like, by the way, we can't talk about it. Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
No way in hell. So if you have questions, get those in by tomorrow
can you give
evening.
Him a hug for me?
Sure. Why not?
Maybe kiss his feet.
only if he's wearing sandals.
We're getting borderline creepy. Just a little bit. Also... We have been nominated for this year's Podcast Awards under Gamer Escape Radio in the gaming category. You can vote once a day up until, I believe, it's October 27th.
How does who's nominating? Like, who does the nominations for that?
The people.
The people.
The people. The that's why it's the called people the People's Choice remind. Podcast Awards.
You're an ass.
But yeah, you know, once a day until I think it's the 27th. So if you like us, and we hope you do, and that you're not just listening to us like out of pure spite, because that'd be kind of weird and messed
rage
up.
Rage listen.
Podcastawards.com in the gaming category. Click the bubble, fill the thing out.
I hope like crazy that there are rage listeners out there. Like, I never really thought about it before, but I hope that they exist.
I've had a few rage listeners in my day.
I not only do I hope that they exist, but I hope that they listen to every minute of every show just because I would love to hold that much power.
I'm about to start at my dartboard with a picture of a
over somebody's
of a dark
life.
Night.
Oh my god.
He's gonna like catch the dart and like rub it all over his body. He's like, oh, rage.
Rage.
I'm sorry.
I was getting creepy.
Rage feeds me.
I love trolls. I love when people try to hate on things that I'm involved with, because it's so entertaining to get pure unbridled hatred.
It's nice to be entertained.
It's so awesome. It's great. I love that people actually hate me for the things that I have to say about a video game that doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? Like, in the end, it is a video. All, you know,
it's all opinion
11
too.
Or
so
14.
Like, if you did a podcast,
whatever.
Like, I like turtles. And someone's like, oh my god, turtles are so stupid. Blah. Like, okay.
Turtles are so stupid.
I hate
stupid.
Them amphibious bastards.
This but guy I do with a blog about why he hates you because you love turtles. Like,
I love trolls, though. I do. I have a soft spot for trolls. I think they're hysterical. So.
They're eating her. Then they're going to eat me. From the troll movie. No. Nobody.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. No. I know. Okay, I know. I know what you're talking about.
We got one first in the bit. All right.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, troll man. 2. I'm going to have to tighten my belt.
All right.
Best part of that movie is when the kid urinates on the food. That is by far. Spoilers for Troll 2. There you go. That's what you get when you listen to Aetherite Radio.
Oh, man.
Is that about Troll the movie?
Yes. Troll 2. Not Troll.
Revenge of the Troll.
That's the crazy thing about Troll 2 is that it has actually nothing to do with Troll 1. Because I bought a DVD that had Troll 2 and Troll 1.
I didn't know it was a real movie. I thought we were just making fun of trolls.
No. These are real movies. And I'm deadly serious about this. Watch Troll 2.
You know what else is a real movie? A Nero.
Thor? It shouldn't
period
be.
Piece.
Yeah, it is.
I remember you made me go watch that. No.
What is it?
I told you not to watch that.
That was out of your own free will.
I warned people against watching that movie, and now it's not even on Netflix anymore. So if you want a copy of Period Piece, you have to email the creator of the film, Giuseppe Andrews. Google it. It's a fact.
I am a changed person. Because of that movie.
Hi, what was this movie about?
We'll talk about it after this.
Okay,
all right. It's we don't need to talk about it again.
I was like, what?
It's true. The only way that I could have described it to another human being was face meltingly weird, and I think that is an apt description of that film.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of Aetherite Radio. You can email us at aetherite@gamerscape.com if you have questions, comments, or you want to send your rage our way to feed a Nero.
Yes, send me your hatred. Send me your hatred. I will bathe in it.
To eat. You can hit us up on Twitter, aetherite_radio, radio ESC, or Zayapedia. Check out our websites, radio.gamerscape.com and ffxiv.gamerscape.com. Vote for us in Podcast Awards. If we win, we'll love you. We'll still love you if we don't win, but slightly less.
I won't.
All right, and we'll see you probably next week again with our Yoshida interview.
Yeah.
So, yep. See you next week.